In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John. Luke opens this chapter of his gospel, commencing the beginning of Jesus' public ministry with a level of particularity that feels storybook. In the midst of this list and flurry of rulers, Roman and otherwise, there is a small phrase, you might have guessed it, which reached out this week and poked me between the eyes to get my attention. The word of God came to John. In the midst of all of the great things happening in the Roman world, in the midst of power struggles between rulers, Judean and Roman, in the midst of all of the lofty and elevated people that filled the empire, the word of God comes to a rather strange man living in the wilderness. If you're anything like me, it can be hard sometimes to cut through the noise and chatter of daily life. Work, friends, family, work, stress, anxiety, work. And underneath all of this fog and tumult, there can be a sense of disorientation or confusion about the most essential things in life. Who am I? Why am I here? And where is God in all of this? Even with an active prayer life and friends who support me, I sometimes can find myself in the same wilderness that John finds himself in. The word that Luke uses here literally means solitude and desolation. And in this solitude, I find that I ache for that sense of piercing clarity which seemed to whisper itself into John's ear. So much of the longing, that ache, that we read in the prophets and that we sing about during Advent, O come, Emmanuel, encapsulates this feeling for me. Realize that before this word of God came to John in the wilderness, the people of Israel waited roughly 400 years to hear from God in such a distinct way. From the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the Gospels, 400 years had passed, and with Israel's history of judges and prophets and kings and seers, this silence must have been deafening in their collective mind, producing a confusion about their own identity as empires rose and fell around them and the world changed at a breakneck pace. Where was God in all of this? I think it's very similar for you and me today. The struggle of Advent, as I've said, is not to remain only in the warm but distant memory of Christmas past, but to see the clear and piercing light of God's kingdom present for us here and now. Where is God's voice for us? Where is God's call in our own deserts, amidst the rise and fall of our own political institutions, social norms, relationships, or careers? Is the testimony of our faith then only a memento of past deliverance, past presence? Is there a word of God for us today, here and now? Of course, the answer is yes, but how? I found, funnily enough, great comfort in reading through that list of rulers, that historical receipt at the beginning of the chapter. Back of the envelope math puts us squarely around Jesus' 30th year of age at this time. Calculations aside, he's baptized by the end of this very chapter. Why do I bring this up? I mention this because the word of God that John went out into the silence and desolation to hear was a word that was already present. It was already living among the people. It was already manifesting God's love and moving throughout the world. John's prophecy that he's given to preach to people is not a pre-nativity prophecy. I think we might read that in the context of Christmas and the coming of Christ in the manger. But no. He's given a word to speak about the word on the cusp of utterance. This word was Christ. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and Christ was already present with his people. In the midst of tumult, in the midst of change, in the midst of silence, ready to meet John when he went out to hear him. Though no prophets are recorded in these 400 years that I mentioned, surely the word of God had not disappeared entirely. Instead, I think in the apparent silence, the people of Israel failed to listen. Faith became only a memory and not a present experience. And yet I must maintain that the voice of God is as equally present and consistent for us today as it was in the time of John and at any other time throughout salvation and history. God's call to us to be a people of justice and compassion, open to the love of God for ourselves and for our neighbors, to make a straight and level way through an often crooked world, is an unbroken thread which runs throughout the entirety of the Bible. God's voice calling us to repentance and the resurrected life still issues, I think, from the wilderness of our own hearts. Prepare. Prepare. Christ, healing in his hand, stands at the threshold between the wilderness and the world, seeking only listening hearts and an invitation, even as he speaks in the silence. And as I thought about this word which came to John, I was reminded of Moses' final address to the people of Israel before they entered into the promised land. In his last time speaking with his people that he led for decades, Moses says, "Surely this commandment, this word that I have given you today, is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. This commandment is not up in heaven that you might say, 'Who will go up and get it for us that we may hear it?' Neither is it on the other side of a far sea that you should say, 'Who will cross and go retrieve it for us?' No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. Christ will come. Christ is here already. The word is spoken through prophets. The word is spoken in silence. And it is the knowledge of this consistent and eternal presence of God with us, even in periods of desolation, that we realize that Christ walks alongside us as we prepare our hearts, even as we move to meet him. He is here and speaking to us now, if we find the time to listen in silence. Or in the words of T.S. Eliot's Ash Wednesday, "And the light shone in the darkness, and against the word, the unstilled world still whirled about the center of the silent word. Where shall the word be found? Where will the word resound? Not here. There is not enough silence." Amen.